Hello everyone and welcome to Expert Inside our FTI Consulting France podcast series. I'm Arnaud de Chefontaine, Managing Director in FTI Strategic Communication Practice in Paris. In this podcast series, our experts discuss how companies seize opportunities and address challenges in areas such as technology, operations, regulation and reputation. Today, many companies placed sustainability and ESG at the heart of their strategy and therefore, shareholders and investors are increasingly reaching out to both the IR and sustainability departments. To discuss this with me, I'm pleased to welcome Bertrand Delcaire, VP and Head of Investor Relations at Thales. Good morning, Bertrand, and thanks very much for joining me on the podcast. Thales' ESG commitment has received renewed interest recently, particularly from following the war in Ukraine, with a number of sell-side analysts commenting on the relevance to ESG investors of exposure to the defense industry. Could you please explain us what has changed and how to promote the importance of ESG?
Yes, hello Arnaud and good morning everyone. Thanks to FTI for inviting me to share my experience. Indeed, our journey shows how ESG approaches continue to evolve strongly. In the early years of the development of sustainable investment, some players built their vision based on the long period of peace that followed the fall of the Berlin Wall in Europe. They asserted that weapons are not necessary in a sustainable world, that their negative externalities are inherent since their intrinsic function is the destruction of the adversary. This vision seems to pretend that we live in a world without weapons, without serious risk of conflict. It led some analysts to systematically exclude from ESG portfolios any company making more than 5% of its turnover in defense, whatever their nature. I remind you that systematic exclusions are the most aggressive tool in ESG. They are really implemented for hopeless sectors for which no engagement with companies is possible. The only sector that receives such treatment is tobacco. Fortunately, this approach is not at all dominant. According to some estimates, it concerns around 20% of Article 8 funds and 40% of Article 9 funds in Europe. But still, it is quite material and it really does matter. The conflict in Ukraine has led many investors to reconsider this logic of blanket exclusion. The right to freedom and security is still part of the fundamental rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. As one investor reminded me, there is no alternative to defense. A recent survey showed that nearly 40% of asset managers are expecting to change their ESG policy in view of the new geopolitical context. If we add to this pragmatic observation the fact that our portfolio includes businesses at the heart of sustainability issues, such as the construction of satellites that monitor global warming, or everything we do in cybersecurity, it is really not surprising to see that several sell-side analysts have been recommending us as a stock to hold in an ESG portfolio. I do not know, of course, if these ESG analysts have convinced many investors to push us in their portfolios, but clearly, in any case, it illustrates how the ESG approach is fortunately not static.
Thank you very much, Bertrand. Investors are increasingly pressing the IRs to discuss ESG topics. How do you manage that situation as head of investor relations?
Yes, for me, the main issue is really the diversity of ESG themes. What should we talk about? Is it CO2? Is it the fight against corruption? Is it the initiatives to strengthen diversity? It's really easy to drown under the mass of possible topics. So we really asked ourselves this question when last year we decided to organize a CMD dedicated to the subject. Since it was a digital event, we decided that it should not exceed 3 hours, and of course we needed to plan for plenty of Q&A. To achieve this, we applied one of the fundamentals of investor relation. Start from the receivers of the message, understand the expectations of investors on these subjects. To draw robust, objective conclusions, we quickly converged with our CSR colleagues on the importance of reworking our materiality metrics. We organized an online poll and conducted interviews with key stakeholders and in particular investors and sell-side analysts. We found that there were in fact two quite distinct conversations which had to be both addressed. On one side, the approach of the generalist portfolio manager focused on risks and opportunities. What growth opportunities does sustainable development offer you? What are the risks and how are they managed? What about reputational risk, product exclusions, anti-corruption, accidents, etc.? And then, on the other side, the more classic CSR teams, typically focused on the implementation of interloan commitments related to CO2 or gender diversity.
Many changes are expecting in the near future with the arrival of the European taxonomy and the harmonization of non-financial reporting. What benefits should investors expect?
I really consider that the development of a regulatory framework is essential. Of course, it's heavy, it's complicated for companies, it's going to take a lot of time, but it's really important because it will enhance transparency and allow comparisons. You can draw the parallel with the IFRS standards. We can always complain that some notes are useless and not read by anyone, but 90% of the notes are really useful. On the other hand, I urge investors to be cautious with the current data, which remains very patchy. One example I can share is our experience on the environmental taxonomy. As several of our products have obvious environmental benefits, we really tried to see if we could be eligible for the taxonomy. We had teams across the company who studied in detail this regulation. It was very frustrating in the end because we came to the conclusion that, at this stage, we simply did not fit into the taxonomy boxes. In other words, we really must be patient, investors and companies alike, and be cautious with the current data.
Thank you. And what do you think companies should do better to communicate their ESG commitments to the stock markets and investors?
A few years ago, the standard advice was to carefully answer as many rating agency questionnaires as possible. The other best practice was to publish an integrated report. Of course, these are still important things to do, but I think ESG topics have really become mainstream. If they are strategic and important for the valuation of the company, it makes sense to address them directly in the results presentations, on earnings calls, and organize events such as dedicated CMDs. This is typically what we tried to do last year by organizing such an event for investors.
Thank you, Bertrand. My next question is, how do you manage your relationship with the sustainability department? And what is key to the relationship's success?
My own experience is really that the relationship is very easy. For a long time, our CSR teams have understood that we are really their best ally internally. In this phase of learning and structuring, with the explosion of regulations, there are really so many things to do that we need all hands on deck. Talking about success factors, I think if I had to name one, I think it would be to always remember that investors are a stakeholder with specific expectations. It is therefore necessary to ensure that sustainability messages also meet their expectations and therefore to interact a lot among the teams.
Well, thank you very much, Bertrand. I remind everyone that Bertrand Delcaire is VP, Head of Investor Relations at Thales. Thank you all for listening today. I look forward to the next FTI Expect Insight podcast. In the meantime, I encourage you to visit the ESG section of our fticommunications.com website, where you will find more information and can subscribe to our ESG Plus newsletter. Thanks again. Have a very nice day. Goodbye.